Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network and the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we have a great show with a wonderful guest who is extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing a very important topic that's happening right now in the multifamily industry. From spreadsheets to synergy, streamlining multifamily management. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran and experienced multifamily operations expert, David Ulrich, a business consultant with The Advisory Experts. Welcome, Dave.
Thank you, Paul. Good to be here.
Yeah, you know, I saw a post you made on LinkedIn recently, and where you're talking about this topic, and specifically about consolidation, and you know, consolidation is happening all over multifamily. We saw it happen a lot several years ago, but it seems like the pace has picked up. Tell us a little bit about what you're seeing.
Yeah, Paul, I think I've laid out here, there's some different trends I see within consolidation right now. Some of the classic mergers and acquisitions trends we've seen for years, and I think as you alluded to a little bit in that lead-in, you know, we obviously have just seen right away the Blackstone acquisition of AIR showing up, a big deal right now, and that's pretty typical of what I would say standard merger and acquisition approaches. It's a big deal, but fairly typical. But we're also seeing some other things here that you know, things like prop tech companies that are buying, you know, looking into buying property management companies. We've seen a couple of those recently. We're looking at some specialized operators that are looking to expand their presence by getting into the property management space. We're seeing some smaller owner operators that are beginning to move away from vertical integration. I have personal experience with that as we speak. And obviously, we see the general expanse across not just what we've talked about with Blackstone and AIR, but property managers and owners generally trying to grow their platforms.
Yeah, and the Blackstone merger or acquisition was as we're talking right now, it's 48 hours old. But what are some of the other ones that have occurred, the major consolidations that have occurred throughout multifamily in the last, 6-8 months?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say realistically, probably the last 2 years have been some interesting time, an interesting time for acquisitions. We've seen, obviously, more recently, Greystar just recently was taking property management from Wood Partners. They're effectively taking over that property management platform. We've seen that Pradium has acquired BH Management, RMR acquired Carroll, you know, Asset Living, significant growth with BMC, SMP, and First Communities. We've seen recently RPM and CF Real Estate combine. And also recently we've seen Cadillac Fairview take over Lincoln, creating the Willowbridge group now. And then more specialized, I think you see Alfred acquiring RKW. That's not within the last 6 months, but that's the, you know, a good example of a prop tech platform getting into the management space. We've seen Guild acquire Creo, which really is more of that specialized services approach to things.
Yeah, talk a little bit about the specialized services for our listeners in case they're not
absolutely
aware of what you mean.
You look at Guild is basically, for lack of a better term, Guild is an Airbnb type approach. It's sort of a hoteling approach to short-term stays. And with a group like that getting into the acquisition of Creo, that is taking an opportunity to effectively expand their platform into additional properties, in effect, where they can expand their presence throughout whatever region it is that the company they're acquiring would be in. So they now have the opportunity to put that platform in places where they would have had to sell it to a group previously. In my experience, for instance, you'd have somebody like Guild or Airbnb or one of the other providers like that coming to you saying, "Hey, I'd like to be able to work with you and, you know, either take a lease up or, you know, vacant units you have in your property and put our platform in place." And, you know, typically there are synergies in place that work for them. They're obviously able to put their business there. The owner / manager is able to increase their services and obviously increase their revenue, provides a good synergistic approach to things. But, you know, in the case of trying to do that through a business development model where you're basically reaching out to people to try and sell your business, it's a slower process, much like simply expanding your platform through an acquisition, you know, like we're talking about with Blackstone and Air. This is the same thing. It effectively allows them to expand their presence into a different set of locations at a more rapid pace.
Yeah, we've got about 5 minutes left in the segment. Tell me a little bit about, because you'd talked in the very first part of this segment about PropTech. Talk a little bit about why PropTechs, you're seeing them consolidate or buy others out. What's the reasoning there?
Similar reasons, Paul. I think you look at this situation where you've got, well, say Alford, you've got a platform that works for owners and or managers who choose to use it on their properties. And again, you'd like to be able to expand that platform into additional locations. So again, you're trying to sell your platform to users, and you know, you're pushing that through a business development model. The opportunity when you get into it to actually go into a portfolio, whereas, you know, you get something like with Alford and RKW, you pick up 30,000 units of properties that you can effectively put your product into. And you can do a number of things when you do that. Obviously, you have the ability to tweak your own product, make sure it's working well, you're really efficient with what you're doing there because you get to test it and use it firsthand. And of course, you also have the opportunity to interact with other products that may be out there in a direct way as well. I mean, obviously, we shouldn't say obviously, but for those of us who've been in the business for a while, we know that integrations between different softwares can be one of the bigger struggles of PropTech. You know, whether or not it's simply integrating with a RealPage or a Yardi or whatever it may be at the property management system level, even just the other pieces that you're using at the property level, the opportunity to see firsthand how that works, really hone that process, is great. You know, on the downside, of course, is if you know, if I'm a competitive property manager and I'm competing with RKW and you're trying to sell your product to me, that could be a little bit more difficult now, because if I'm looking at it saying, hey, you know, you've got two sort of different competing approaches to what you're trying to accomplish, and maybe I don't want to use Alford because I think it's going to be, you know, competitive to my property management space. I don't think that's a huge issue. I certainly don't see that as a problem, but I think some people may.
Yeah, and another thing that you said that I wanted to have you maybe clarify for our listeners is when you were talking about small owner operators are moving away from the vertical integration. Can you give us an example of that?
Yeah. Well, and I have personal experience with that myself right now. And for the folks that I know personally, they know that I've recently been through one of those exact situations where a smaller owner operator has moved away from vertical integration and has merged their property management platform with a different group. The reasons that I think you see that happening for a long time, Wall Street and other investment groups, in effect, really looked at companies and wanted them to be vertically integrated. They felt they were more efficient. They felt that they had full buy-in, I think, in the scope of what the business goals were from top to bottom. But what's happened, in my opinion, as we've gone through this post-COVID environment of higher rates and higher expenses, insurance costs are way up, interest rates obviously are way up, other costs have gone up. It's made the operations of the properties much more competitive, in effect, much more difficult to keep in line. And I think what we're seeing here is that property management is not an exceptionally profitable business. It's got a relatively tight margin. And if you're in a smaller group, scale can be an issue from that perspective. And you may look at it and say, look, I'm focused too much on trying to get my property management group profitable when I should really be focused on making sure that my investments are right. So I think it can detract from what people's goals are. It can be a problem if you're not profitable. So generally speaking, I think, there's an efficiency issue, there's a cost savings issue, and that's, I think, what we're seeing right now. Some smaller groups like that have said, hey, we need to get back to what our core values are here and make sure that we are focused on, buying deals and then looking at people that have the scale and have the efficiency to use them to manage our product.
Yeah, so we've got about 30 seconds left, but basically what you're seeing is that the owner-operators who were doing the in-house management are reaching out to third-party managers to take over the management of their properties. Is that the essence of it?
Yeah, it's a combination of that and a combination of, I think you have larger third-party managers looking for that opportunity as well to be able to pick up
sure.
management, and they can look at somebody and say, hey, I can do this more efficiently than you can, so let me give it a shot. And I think people are seeing that based on the thoughts I was having as well, that cost and efficiency are a factor.
All right. All right, well, we are going to break it here. We're going to be back right after these messages. You are listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
Elevate your apartment game with Multi-Housing News and their exclusive newsletters. MHN is the leading integrated resource for people and companies that own, invest in, develop, manage, and or market multifamily real estate. Join the thousands of real estate professionals who trust MHN in their daily, weekly, and bi-monthly newsletters to keep them informed and inspired with property management trends, news, podcasts, and more. Find out more information at multihousingnews.com/subscriptions.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit? Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and Appfolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network, and coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of From Spreadsheets to Synergy, Streamlining Multifamily Management. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran and experienced multifamily operations expert, David Ulrich, a business consultant with Advisory Experts. I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Dave, we talked in the first segment about the consolidation that has been occurring for the last couple of years throughout the multifamily industry, not only on the management and ownership side, but also on the supplier partner, the prop tech side of the industry. Let's talk a little bit about some of the specific reasons why these consolidations are occurring. Let's start out with economies of scale. What are you seeing there?
Yeah, I mean, I think, Paul, when you get into consolidation, really in any business, I don't know that that multifamily is necessarily dramatically different. We have our own issues and reasons, but at a high level, I mean, you're looking at in an economy of scale, you're really looking to reduce your operational costs, and you're trying to better leverage what you have, leverage your technology and your staff. Size gives you the opportunity to negotiate rates with vendors, provides you access to different resources you might not have had before. Ideally, if you're doing it well, you can improve your efficiencies when you do that, when you have access to more, hopefully. That would be a goal, obviously, I think, in almost every case. You know, you can streamline a lot of different places. I mean, one thing I think everybody is aware of right now is that insurance is a big cost, has gone up dramatically in the last few years. And, you know, if you have a larger platform, you typically have access to better programmatic insurance programs. And as a result, you should be able to get better pricing if you do that. And I've definitely seen that in several different cases. So that would be one place I'd look at economies of scale.
And besides economies of scale, what's another reason why these consolidations are occurring?
Yeah, I mean, Paul, again, I think there's a number of things as I think through the process and I think about what happens. You know, one of the things that immediately comes to mind is market share and geographic reach. You know, I you know, specifically was working for Avenue 5 Residential a couple of years back. And, you know, we had a small portfolio in the East and we spent a bunch of time trying to figure out whether or not we could find a company to acquire there. You know, most of the time it was simply doing your standard business development approach, but we really wanted to increase our market share and geographic reach in the East. And that was something we took a look at. Unfortunately, COVID, you know, kept that a little bit in check, yeah. But, and we definitely took a look at that. You want to be able to diversify your client base, a number of different things, and get yourself into some new markets so you can continue to do that. And the more expanse you have in your portfolio, typically you have a better ability to attract additional clients, bigger clients, because they look at it and say, "Hey, I've got a national portfolio. You have national presence." You know, there's a number of other things I think that you get into when you start to look at why you would choose to pursue an acquisition. Access to expertise is one. You know, can I get into a specific area that maybe I'm not in? I think we've seen companies that were in the student housing space that have expanded into multifamily specifically. You have examples of folks going the other way as well, trying to get into affordable housing, or maybe you're looking to get more into the development space. That access to expertise is critical. You know, maybe that you're simply trying to keep up with the Joneses from a competitive perspective. You know, you want to be able to give yourself more competitive edge when you're looking at it. I mean, you know, we laughingly always look at Greystar. I mean, those of us who are not part of the Greystar world, you know, look at Greystar as, you know, what point are we going to be absorbed by that? I mean, I think laughingly, we used to call Greystar Death Star. And the reason we said that was not necessarily in a negative way. It was really because they're huge. And most of us are not. And you want to be able to compete as best you can with that. We know that a group that's that size can do a lot of things that most of us can't. Technological innovation is another big reason for it. Can you combine, you know, some of the resources you have in management technology? We've talked about that a little bit already in terms of how that may play out within PropTech specifically, but, you know, being able to access more tools more efficiently is also something you would look at. You know, succession planning is a big one right now, frankly. I mean, I've had this conversation with a number of people recently, and you've got a lot of folks that have been in the business for some time, and, you know, they're a few years older than me, and they're looking at it going, "Hey, you know what, it's time for me to, you know, think about going to, you know, sit on a beach in Florida or something like that instead of chasing down tenants for rent or whatever it may be. You know, time to find the next step." And maybe their kids or, you know, or their relatives or their team are not necessarily the folks that are going to take that over. So the opportunity to say, "Hey, you know what, I'm just going to sell the company to somebody else" is something that's happening. And that, I mean, that's a sort of a natural thing. I wouldn't say that that's necessarily a new trend, though it is newer in the sense that I think that we have a fairly significant group of folks in the business who are of that age where they're feeling like they want to move on to the next thing. So a few other things I would look at, market conditions can play into it pretty considerably. You know, as I mentioned before, you know, the slower transaction volume, et cetera, may look at it and say, "Hey, I need to, you know, change my approach to it. You know, what I want to focus on." And, you know, obviously at the high level, long-term growth strategy is simply it. I want to get bigger. You know, I've got plans to be you know, 10 times bigger in 10 years, as one of my former groups would say. How are you going to get there? You're probably going to have to look at acquisitions. So, I mean, there's a lot of different reasons. I think those are some high level ones that I would point to.
Yeah, we've got about 4 minutes left in the segment. Talk a little bit about when you consolidate. You obviously, I mean, we're talking about really the high level aspect of it, but also when it gets down to the regional level and the team level on site, what are some of the things that are either benefits or potential obstacles?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, it's a very interesting topic, Paul, and I think, you know, you could probably spend a half hour talking about that in general. You know, the things that I look at is that a smaller company can be very beneficial for people in the sense that you can have that sort of, people refer to it as a family environment. I don't know that that's the right approach, but a good tight-knit team environment. You have close contact with the senior folks. You really have the ability to talk daily about what the company is doing. But at the same time, you typically can't offer a lot of the things, the benefits that you can get. And benefits is a specific topic. I mean, simply look at, you know, access to, you know, a better 401k or a better insurance platform or whatever it may be, or growth potential, right? I mean, if you're, you know, really good property manager and you want to be a regional manager, but you're a small company and there's three really strong regionals who are kind of long-term folks in there, you may need to go elsewhere to get that opportunity. But if you're moving into a new group, if you go into a bigger, you know, say you go from, you know, 7,000 units to 20,000 units, you may have that opportunity. You maybe have the opportunity to go to another market. You know, I certainly went through that. I went through it on the acquiring side when I was at Equity back a number of years ago when we were expanding our platform. You know, we acquired Maryland Property Trust down the southeast. We acquired Grove Property Trust up in the northeast. It was an interesting process because when you go into these companies and you sit down with them and you talk to their folks on site, most of them were terrified about what was going to happen. They thought we were going to replace them all. We thought we were going to, you know, fire the site teams and bring in our own folks. And you know, once they realized, hey, no, you guys have a job. You run the property. We like what you do. We think you do a good job. We can bring some things to the table that you may not have had before. Most of them are fairly excited about it. I think in some cases from the Grove expansion in the Northeast, we were able to offer people opportunities that they are still taking advantage of. There's still people working for Equity. Last time I checked in the Northeast that were part of that acquisition. And that was, you know, 15, 20 years ago. Maryland folks, I'm sure there's probably a few folks still around from that, although a lot of times it provided them opportunity to move into other places. A couple of them went into Pegasus and some other places like that, really took the opportunity to grow professionally into other areas. So I think, you know, people shouldn't be scared of the mergers and acquisitions. It can provide a lot of opportunity, both internally and externally. But it does change things. It's going from small to big, and that can change things.
Yeah. All right, we're going to break it here. We're going to be back with more about this consolidation movement that we're seeing in the industry right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Rev, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book Rev's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let Rev drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let Rev be your long-term leasing solution. Go to RevLMC.com to find out more. That's RevLMC.com. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire Rev today.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network and coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of From Spreadsheets to Synergy, Streamlining Multifamily Management. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran and experienced multifamily operations expert, David Ulrich, a business consultant with the Advisory Experts. I do want to take a moment and thank some of our sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. Econserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. PayScore, learn the truth about applicant income. HappyCo, multifamily solutions to smile about. And Control by Net, providing multifamily video surveillance and remote guarding, solving your security needs. So, Dave, we talked in the first couple of segments about the reasons for a lot of the consolidation that's going on. And then also, let's talk a little bit in this, go in more detail about the PropTech consolidations and what's going on there. What are you seeing there?
Yeah, I mean, and when I'm thinking about PropTech consolidation, it's the idea behind working more closely with property management companies, either acquiring them or whatever it may be. And it can be sort of both directions, I think. You see multifamily owners of a certain size and certain wealth investing in PropTech as well on their own, some through funds. I know there's a gentleman that I have connected with here in D.C., for instance, with a group called Canberra Creek that does it on a little bit of a smaller scale, but they're effectively an investment fund where you find they may back a product and they have investments from property managers and owners in those funds. So I think there's some interesting synergies on both, in both directions there. The reason that we're talking today, obviously, is a little bit more on the side of consolidation of PropTech investing in management companies. I think you look at it as we started to talk earlier about market access and expertise that, most of these PropTech companies are really good at the tech side of the business, but they don't really necessarily always understand what's going on site, and they don't necessarily understand operations completely. Successful ones do. The ones that are starting out, and I've been on a couple boards with a few groups to help provide them some guidance from an operational perspective. A lot of times they've got a great idea somebody's brought to them, but they don't necessarily have the direct connection to the day-to-day on-site operations. So all that said, the idea behind something like Alford acquiring RKW is something that allows them to really dive in deep. It's not just having a board member or an advisor or something to that effect. It's actually having the day-to-day experience and the ability to expand to it. I think just as a side comment, what is interesting too is it tells you a little bit more where the money is, because a group like Alford then obviously has the capital to go out and buy a property management company. We don't need to get into the details of the approach to buying a property management company, but I have done that. I shouldn't say I haven't completed an acquisition. I've looked at a couple where we got to the final stages of it, and the valuation process and whatnot. Definitely gives you the idea that somebody with some technology money could step in and buy property management relatively easily if they chose to do that. And obviously in that case, they could. I think we could move in a little bit another direction too. I think as we talked earlier, the data and integrations are a factor. You certainly have access to data when you are a prop tech, when you are a specific service provider. But there is so much information available at the multifamily level at the property level, I should say, about your customers, about what's going on site, be it, traffic data, be it demographic data, be it whatever that you need to get, leasing data, et cetera, that really could, you know, jumpstart your ability to look at how you're providing support via PropTech on site. And I think that's a really interesting aspect of it. I'm sort of a, I would not call myself a data geek, but I'm definitely somebody who would say that I'm very intrigued by the amount of data that is available on site that probably doesn't get used, and having folks that are technologically focused get involved in that could really change the way things are being done. And I hopefully that's what will happen as we move forward. But those are two things. I don't know, Paul, if you want to jump in at all there, I can move on and talk to you more.
I know you talked about also increasing the service offerings you're able to do. We'll talk about that.
Yep, absolutely. You know, I think one of the things that you look at with from the standpoint of a property management company is the level of services that they provide. In many cases, it's relatively specific to what that group has had in place, and the opportunity for somebody like again, some prop tech provider, whoever it may be, to be able to come in and create a more broad service offering is really one way to do that, to make it more efficient for the resident on site. And I think if you're a visionary from the standpoint of prop tech and how you fit into the multifamily management platform, you know, the idea to really come in there and dive in and say, what can I do to expand my role here and to provide a more holistic experience for the resident is something you can really get to. One of the things that I mentioned earlier was the difficulty with integrations. That component, as you look at it, and I think that there's a deeper story here that we don't want to take a ton of time on now, but a lot of people have a lot of great ideas, and those ideas tend to hit an individual pain point or an individual opportunity. And I think as you're in that property operation, you start to see how those different pieces of PropTech interact and how you might be able to provide a more holistic approach to what you're doing. Again, I could go down a rabbit hole here that we probably don't have time to do, but there's a lot of different places within the operation where there are solutions in place that really could be holistically combined into, you know, 1, 2, 3 overall pieces of prop tech, pieces of technology that would work better for everybody. And I think these are it's an opportunity to really stay there too. And then I think, the last piece of this, I think when we look at it, there's a friend of mine, actually it's not in that case, but, NAA reported that, I think it was Alford, reported that on average, there's only 1% of a property's budget that is put toward technology. I'm not sure if that's entirely true in the places I've been, but it's always a low number. Whereas other innovative industries invest closer to 10% of their budget in technology. This whole thing about trying to combine prop tech or really use prop tech within property operations, I think it really shines a spotlight on that. I've said for years, and I'm not by no means the one person saying this, many of us have said this, that multifamily is a bit of a backwater from the standpoint of technological innovation. These opportunities really hopefully begin to bring us back up the curve and ensure that what we are doing is more innovative and is more up to speed, is more current in its approach. And I think that's sort of a critical missing component within property management. And I don't want to go deep down rabbit holes here, but I go back to Moneyball and the way Billy Beane obviously changed the approach to baseball. Can we do the same thing? I've said that for years. Can we do the same thing with multifamily? Can we take the data that we have and find the pieces that work together to improve how we do things, how we provide service, how we generate revenue, how we, improve our expense performance, whatever it may be. I think the PropTech entrance into multifamily, into management, really provides that opportunity and gives us the chance to really dive into it and see what we can do to pull data out in the right way.
Well, we've got about 2 minutes left in this segment. So a very interesting analogy with Billy Bean and Moneyball. Basically, it's breaking the mold of the way things have been done and going after it with a different approach. Just in the last 1 minute of this segment, talk about some of the things that you think might be beneficial to do that way and what areas.
Well, I mean, there's an entire approach to centralization. For instance, that, you know, how can we do a better job of reducing the tasks on site? We've seen that in some tools that are out there to date. You know, things like Leonardo 24/7 when they first rolled that out. How do we use the tools that we have to really focus on increasing efficiency on site and allowing us to do more with less? I mean, I hate to say that, it's very cliche, but that's the goal. I mean, how can we do this to be more effective, more efficient, save money, save time, save, you know, whatever it may be? I think that's really the goal.
All right. Well, we are going to break it here. We are going to be back with our final segment of this episode right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Say goodbye to pen and paper processes, labor shortages, and unhappy residents, and say hello to HappyCo, the only multifamily platform that supports every stage of your property lifecycle. Improve your portfolio with Happy Asset, the ROI-driving asset optimization solution for owners, acquisition directors, and asset managers. Manage your portfolio with Happy Property, a suite of intuitive tools that streamline operations, empower teams, and delight residents. Service your portfolio with Happy Force, an always-on remote maintenance workforce for multifamily specialists designed to increase resident satisfaction. Happy Co. Multifamily solutions to smile about. For more information, visit the website at happy.co.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit? Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and Appfolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network and coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. We're discussing the topic of From Spreadsheets to Synergy, Streamlining Multifamily Management. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran and experienced multifamily operations expert, David Ulrich, a business consultant, advisory experts. I do want to take a moment and thank some of our other sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. Allegion, providing a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. Balanced Asset Solutions, CPAs with expertise in multifamily property management. DirecTV, the ultimate entertainment experience, is now available to all multifamily residents. Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry, and CTS, Complete Technology Solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Dave, we talked about a lot of things in the first three segments, and in this final segment, we were talking during the break, we want to discuss how owner-managed multifamily companies are exiting property management and what are the reasons for that. So I'll let you give your thoughts on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we touched on this a little bit earlier, and there has been a little bit of coverage, I would say, in the news, if you will, in the media that's out there about multifamily, that there has been a bit more of a step away from the vertical integration and toward probably more specialization, I would say, and if you're an investment shop, maybe, focusing on investments. And not on property management. Not a holistic thing. Obviously, there are still folks out there that do it and do it well. I personally believe it has a lot to do with sort of two things. I think one is that the current prolonged slowdown that we've had in multifamily is putting pressure on companies, particularly smaller ones, that may have said, hey, it's the best case scenario for me to manage our product in-house. But now maybe it doesn't make sense because I'm struggling to do deals. I'm struggling to keep my staff on. I really can't afford to handle the management aspect of things. I kind of laugh going back to my days at FCP. We debated at one point about whether or not we might add property management to our stack because, we were getting that commentary at the time from our investment partners that, you might want to be. And my approach to it, when I talked to one of the partners at the time, and I said, if you really want to spend all your time focused on HR issues and that sort of thing, then sure, let's do it. But the reality of it is that is something you have to address. I mean, property management, in fact, just talking the other day to another gentleman I know, who has property management in both the multifamily and in the industrial space. And he said, man, if I had focused just on industrial from the start, I probably would have been better off because there's so many people that I have to hire for multifamily. Again, there's a whole series of things we could run down there, but you have that in a small investment environment where you have management can be a distraction. It can be a time suck. It can take a lot away from what you're doing to try and be a good investor. And I think that from my perspective in the current environment, that is putting pressure back the other way. And we're starting to see some of that. The other aspects of this, I think, obviously are simply the ability to be profitable at scale. Property management typically, I think, when I started working with Kettler a number of years ago, the comment was that we needed to be somewhere between 25 and 30,000 units to be break even or effectively profitable. That number, then people are saying it needs to be 45,000 units to be profitable. I don't know that that's necessarily the case. I think those are big numbers. I think it depends on what you decide to do with your operation. But what it points to is a very specific issue, and that is that the profit margins in property management are very low. You're on a good day, you're probably at 15%. Most people, you're probably 10 to 12%, and in some cases below. Those are not big margins, and they don't give you a lot of flexibility. So when you get into some of the other points I think you and I talked about beforehand, Paul, things like, regulatory environment and technology adoption, those kind of issues that you face become problems when you don't have a big margin to focus on. Management fees have been under pressure for years. We've had people saying, take it to 2.5%, take it to 2%. I've seen management fees at a point and three quarters in certain places where the rents are high enough. you know, that kind of pressure also really hurts. It doesn't give you a lot of flexibility if you're a third-party manager, particularly smaller ones. That's hard. And, you know, as an in-house third-party manager, as an in-house manager, you may be able to charge yourself higher fees. But again, you know, if I go to a third party and say, hey, do it for 2.5, I'm charging myself 3, there's a benefit right off the bat. You know, and I'm not having to deal with the harassment of having that team to focus on. You know, so economies of scale are a factor. You know, I think we mentioned focusing on investment, the time commitment involved in managing property is significant. So there become a number of other issues that play in there. And I think I also referred to generational shifts earlier in some other conversation we had here, but that's a factor. Succession planning, all of those things come to play. But, you know, I think, you know, the real key, and there was a Forbes article about a year ago that that was not specifically talking about multifamily, but I think it specifically pointed to the issue, and it's really that people were spinning out property management. They were outsourcing it for efficiency, for cost, time, and focus. I mean, that's really the key component of this. You know, you just don't have time in some cases, and right now in the current market, I think it's exacerbated that issue. You know, that's really kind of, I mean, I think that's the high level component of it. You know, there are other factors that are impacting it, but I think those really are probably the key areas of why, you know, smaller groups are saying they can't keep doing this. Not everyone's doing it. And I don't want to paint this as a black and white issue, because it is many, many shades of gray. There are certain people that do it really well. There are certain people that will continue to do it because they like to do it or want to do it. You know, if they're in certain markets, my previous employer, we were in very specific in a couple markets, and it made sense at a small scale to do it because we literally were in 3 markets all within one state. You know, when I was at FCP once upon a time, that was a, you know, different issue entirely, because we were doing, you know, 3 to 5 year holds on deals in multiple states, and it's hard to manage your own stuff when you do that. So a lot of different pieces when you look at it from that perspective.
All right. Well, I want to transition us, because we've got about 4 minutes left in the episode. I want to transition us to another topic. Before I do, want to let our listeners know that I've been mentioning the fact that Multifamily Matters is powered by the Multifamily Media Network, which is where you can find and listen to Multifamily Matters, as well as other great multifamily content and podcasts. Go to multifamilymedianetwork.com. to check it out, and make sure to subscribe to the weekly newsletter that keeps you informed on the latest and greatest from the platform. So, Dave, let's transition a little bit out of the topic and talk a little bit about, I always like to ask our guests, how did you get into multifamily? I get a lot of different answers over the 7 years we've been doing this. Some of them very surprising, but tell us a little bit about how you got into multifamily and your journey.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I laugh. I think my LinkedIn post may still say this. I'm not 100% sure. It comes from actually an application to architecture school when I was in college. But, you know, that I was basically somebody who always wanted to do real estate. I knew that when I was back in you know, even junior high school. I say that broadly because it probably was more architecture and construction that I was interested in. But I would say that that Mike Brady was my inspiration. I feel like the Brady Bunch folks probably know that better, but I could go back to The Courtship of Eddie's Father too, but that's really dating me, but all the architects in TV, and that's probably what intrigued me. But yeah, you know, I loved it at the time. And how did I get into multifamily? I think when I got out of grad school, I had been up in Boston working for Kenneth Leventhal and Company, sort of a boutique real estate consulting firm. And I moved back after we had our first kid. I moved back to D.C., or we moved back to D.C., and I walked into an interview it was really a networking interview with a woman who was running management for NHP. And she said, hey, somebody just quit that was on my asset management team. Do you want a job? And I was like, sure. I didn't really know what I was getting into, but I took the job, and it was asset management for multifamily. And, you know, sort of that's where it went. I loved it, you know. We were acquired by IMCO and ended up going to Equity, which really, you know, got my my education in multifamily, but I've loved it ever since.
Yeah, and tell us a little bit about some of the roles you've had and some of the things that you've had the opportunity to be a part of.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think real quickly, when I was out of undergrad, before I went back to grad school, I actually worked in a design shop doing construction management, so I cut my teeth in that world. And then, as I said, I started out at consulting after grad school, then worked in asset management at NHP. I worked in asset management in the Northeast for Equity Residential for 8 years, made an ill-timed pivot into single family with NVR right before the story of The Big Short. So that was a quick stop in the single family sales market, and then moved back into asset management with FCP and ran FCP's asset and construction management platform for 10 years here in DC. When I left there, I actually went to Kettler to work with Cindy Clare, who probably many of our listeners will know is the COO of Bell Partners down in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Cindy and I had known each other for years, so I ran the platform for her for a few years. She left to go to Bell. We did a downsizing at Kettler, and as I think I indicated earlier, I was over at Avenue 5 for a couple years running their East Coast on a pure third-party basis, which was definitely a change of pace, a lot of fun, enjoyed it, had a great group of people to work with, learned some great new things, and I left there to go run effectively property operations for Bonaventure Group here locally. And at the moment, I am Bonaventure outsourced their property management, which I think was the nexus for this conversation or the origin of this conversation. But at the moment, I am keeping my eyes open for my next big role. So,
all right. Well, if someone wants to reach out to you real quick, how can they do that?
You can get me via LinkedIn, David Ulrich on LinkedIn. You can get me at my email, which is ulrich64, which is ulrich64@gmail.com. I'll hold my cell phone to myself for the moment, but because I never answer if I don't know the number anyway. But
yeah. But
you can get me either way through those. That's fine.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for being here. We are going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.